What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome to the Deception After Show. And we have an amazing show for you tonight. We're talking about the unseen hand. We're going to be talking about secret societies, car bombs, and everything magic with the co-producer, David Kwong. So come on back, you guys. It's going to be amazing.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
They do such a good job with music on this show. Like every week I find music from the show and I always love it.
I love that.
Yes, I love it. I love it. What's up, party people? Welcome to the Deception After Show. And I am your moderator of the evening, Erica Edwards. Go ahead, I will let my co-panelists introduce themselves. And first and foremost, we have the amazing co-producer of Deception. I'm so excited.
That's
we
me.
Talking magic. Yes, yes, yes. David Kwong.
I'm David Kwong, magician, puzzler, all around nice
great
guy.
Yeah. Yes.
I am Shay Jones.
And I'm
I was going to do what he did. Okay,
but just you don't.
Just because he did it, it sounded so awesome. I am.
Yeah, but he's our guest. So
I'm Shay Jones, then.
Yes. Moving right along, ladies.
I'm Cherry Davis. Hey.
Okay, after that amazing intro. All right, you guys, off the top. Now we're kind of definitely back in the flow of things. How did you guys feel overall about this episode, The Unseen Hand?
I loved it. I love the whole show. Oh, you weren't talking to me?
Go ahead. I was talking to everybody, so I'm glad everybody's open, free to talk here.
Oh my gosh. I loved it. I like the fact they did touch on secret societies as a thing. I actually found out some history we can talk about later about secret societies that I found very interesting.
Okay.
I just find the whole outcome of, you know, the fact that they even had a hardware store that was actually a big giant kitchen leading upstairs to like a three story building is like amazing to my life. I find that just introspectiveness awesome.
Cool. What did you think, Cherry?
I loved the perfect mix of spending time in jail, spending time with my people, and of course the whole mystery and getting to know more about the family history of them. I was their dad was kind of like hooked up.
Definitely.
Granddad.
Great-granddad. Exactly. So we started off with Ernest. I can't even read my writing.
Ernest Arbus.
And he gets murdered. And so what I like about the opening scene and the opening segment about this whole, the way the whole mystery starts is that just because you're paranoid does not mean people are not following you. And and that is what's so interesting about this, because you always think these people are crazy, right? And then kind of lo and behold, years and years later, after they've been embarrassed their whole lives, come to find out, yeah, there are secret societies. People are doing things. And they were probably actually really stalked. And who knows what's going on with microwaves. So
fair point.
Thank you. Thank you. And so also,
there's nothing wrong with the microwaves, just for the record.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I don't even have one. Okay. So what was interesting, I also thought, was even Mike has a crazy uncle. So someone always has someone like this, either that they know or that's in their family. And it's kind of sad, I think, to some extent, they separate themselves from us. What do you guys think about the whole conspiracy theory crazy version?
I mean, I know people who are conspiracy theorists, and I like listening to it. I just like hearing what they have to say, mostly because I'm just an intuitive person and I like knowing things, even just from another person's perspective. Even though I'm like, okay, you might be a little crazy, but that's your opinion, and I heard it, so that's you. I loved it, the fact that he said that conspiracy theorists might get a lot of things wrong, but when they get that one thing right, you can't tell me nothing. If I got something right, you ain't gonna tell me not a thing.
Well, that's, hold on. Okay. That's confirmation bias. You know what that is? That's when if you go to a, we're getting real off track here, but if you go to a fortune teller or a psychic and they start saying all these things, they're just getting them wrong. The one thing they get right, you're like, oh man, they were good. They really nailed it. They looked right into my soul.
Who said that?
I'm just saying in general, that's why people go to
right. No, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that because he was so crazy. And I'm sure once they realized there was a secret society, then we were going to look at all his other crazy stuff, which is why I'm still not going to get a microwave. Okay, so moving forward with the whole storyline. So they start the Kay and Cameron investigation this time. It's interesting because this is the first investigation where it's like, well, yeah, there's nothing really magical. You know, it's just a car bomb, which is horrible. But he's like, yeah, I thought that too. I'm not even going to lie. Really, until the end of the episode, I was like, yeah, that guy's not in the car because this is deception. Like, he couldn't have been in that car, right? Mm-hmm. Were you guys deceived in the beginning or did you all really think Arbus was...
He might be paranoid, but he ain't that smart to have a false bottom underneath his car. I'm sorry to say. I was not surprised. That was just me.
Okay.
I like what you're thinking, though. That's a good idea.
I wasn't surprised because I thought somebody was after him. He must have seen something in the secret society. I thought he really did see someone killed, and that was why it was real to me. And then I was like, it was something else. A puzzle within a puzzle.
Exactly. Okay. And what I also really liked was initially they showed a short clip or scene with Jonathan and Cameron. And everybody knows from the beginning, I'm always team Jonathan. And but what was so cool was the same thing. Jonathan was like, they're setting me up for murder. And Cam was treating Jonathan just the way everybody else treated Ernest Arbus. Like, what? You crazy. You crazy. I was like, see you guys once again. Just because you're paranoid does not mean folks are not chasing you. And so I love that sort of interaction with them. But I was kind of surprised that Cameron was such a doubter in the beginning of his brother.
I thought that was interesting, but it's true. A lot of people really do believe the police say something. It's true. And he knows his brother's innocent. So his assumption is, I know you're innocent. The FBI is investigating it. You're safe. You're in a little like a little bubble with your little private investigative room that we've given you. But... you know, he's in jail. He's by himself, like, all the time. And he's having to navigate that. So I knew something was up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I didn't think he did it. Oh, yeah, I really just didn't. I'm just like, if that's the way... if I did this, I'm pretty sure I'm smart enough to get away with it at the same time.
Right. I mean, so. I guess my question isn't going towards whether Jonathan did it. But to me, I was surprised that Cameron was like, oh, no, you crazy, dude. Like... he's in prison, so, you know what I'm saying? I never thought he did it either, but I was like, yeah, either he's being set up or he's next, you know what I'm saying? Because this is kind of where we are. And I was surprised that his own brother kind of doubted him in the beginning.
Cameron is busy being outside of jail and having fun and enjoying himself. He thinks about his brother. He's like, oh, I'll get you out eventually. But he isn't as consumed with it as I would have. And right. I kind of think sometimes that they should have, like, switched places every once in a while take a turn in jail. Too.
But you're right about that. That dichotomy, that split between them is what makes the relationship interesting, is that Cameron is off... having fun, so to speak, or not quite understanding everything that Jonathan's going through.
And exactly.
That makes for a good drama, I think.
That's actually hilarious. I was reading a fan fiction where somebody actually said that they switched places, and I was like, that'd be amazing if they actually have Cameron. if they have Cameron switch places with Jonathan.
I mean, I think so, because to some extent, I feel like Cameron needs to check himself, because he's out kicking it, meeting women, having a great time, and he does come off as a bit unrelatable to his brother, Jonathan, I feel.
Jonathan's always, both of them have said this, Jonathan's always maintained that he could escape from that prison anytime he wants. They're very skilled, so they're respecting the institution and trying to do it by the book, and proving his innocence in the right way so that it doesn't haunt them for their whole lives, you know?
But, I mean, switch for a day or two won't hurt.
I mean,
Cameron might get hurt.
But I agree that they do, especially on Jonathan's end, because, you know, I didn't do anything. No, I spent my whole life hiding, and now I'm, like, in prison for it, is kind of the part that's, like, totally devastating. So let's move on to the investigation, and we come up to Alicia Davis, the daughter of Ernie, and she's changed her name and she's a journalist, but she still has that love for her crazy kooky father, I think deep down under it all. And as most children obviously do for their parents. And I really like the tie-in between her and the twins in dealing with how crazy their dad it was. And I think that once again, I feel like every episode, not every episode, but several episodes, Cameron is kind of doing for the other person what he can't do for Jonathan, or relating to them in a way that he would relate to Jonathan if he was out. What do you guys think of their sort of Alicia Cameron thing?
I totally agree, because they both have dads. Well, in Alicia's case, the dad was just more paranoid and kooky. The other dad is very controlling and narcissistic, I think is a good word to like say about the Black's dad, what he is. However, I really, like, he does find ways to connect with the people they're trying to help. Mm-hmm. Like, I always feel he finds, like, something relatable. And like you said, he definitely is trying to do what he couldn't do for Jonathan, or what he can't do, at least yet, for Jonathan, and try to help them as much as he can on the outside.
Right.
I like the mirror images.
Exactly.
Of it, but it was interesting because at least they had each other, and she was an only child trying to navigate it. And so there wasn't the normalcy that they felt in their magician magic traveling the world. She was living in the real world. And I think she found her father more tolerable until she went and lived a normal, having a job life. And right. She chose a career that people would look down on her for having an odd, quirky dad. Because, you know, her dad was quirky and weird, but he was still functioning. I mean, he had a job. He had an apartment. He was just, he wasn't homeless. And
exactly. And I don't think we actually know to what extent Jonathan and Cameron's dad really was, like, crazy and oppressive. Like, I think we've gotten a glimpse of it along the way, but I'm sure there's more to come, people. Okay, so
his dad was abusive.
Okay. So in the journal that they found of Ernest in the microwave, there were three names. There was Alicia Davis, Bruce Connors, and Charles Quaid. Okay, so Bruce Connors. Oh, my gosh! Okay, first of all, you guys, Mario Van Peebles looks amazing for 61. Oh, my God. Black don't crack. Okay. He looked so, so, so good. I was like, I want me an astronaut. Okay, he looked amazing. But as that side note, so interesting because Cameron was odd of him, but what I find interesting with Cameron is he'll be odd of all these other people, but he's still totally full of himself. Like, yeah, you cool, but I'm still the amazing Cameron Black, which was so interesting in that scene and that dynamic with the astronaut. What do all of you guys think?
Okay, first of all, he's a zaddy, so yeah. Older daddy type guy. I'm totally cool with that. I loved it when Cameron was like, we've met all the same presidents. I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And then he's playing with his moon.
That's the best part.
I thought that was hilarious. And his noticing, is that a real thing that astronauts get a certain watch? Or is that thing you guys made up for
ask,
this
ask
show?
The writers. It sounds good to me. I believe it.
But I really loved their interplay because he was looking at Cameron the way he expects everyone to look at him. I'm an astronaut, you right. adore me. And Cameron's looking at him like, I'm the amazing Cameron, you adore me.
Yes.
What? Yes. That was hilarious.
I mean, because later on he's like, the amazing Cameron Black.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, he gets off his cuff, he's like, you know, I'm amazing. Like, yeah, really.
That thing with the ball is my favorite though, because it's a non-magic trick. Like, I know what I would want to do if we had the real estate to like, we'd make it float or disappear. Ooh, or something, but yes. We never get to it. Kay's like, put it down.
Right, because on a side note, I saw on your, I think it was your Instagram, where you had like the Hulk's hand, like at Disney World.
Exactly, yeah.
That was, like, I'm telling you, if I was at Disney World and the Hulk's hand was just floating around, like outside, not in a room or anything, that was like crazy. Great job.
But I would have wanted to see what he would have did though. I'm like, Kay, don't stop Cameron right now. I actually want to see what he's going to make disappear, what he's going to make happen with this little tiny moon.
I know.
Magic blocked him.
She did.
Yes, she did. So Bruce Connors is, he's sort of like, well, I don't know what's going on, as any secret society person does. Now, what I loved about this was when they meet the daughter, she gives him this tape. Shout out to Betamax. I loved that. Oh my gosh. I was like, I love these callbacks to like the 90s or the 80s. I don't remember when Betamax came out, but it was like a thing. It was
the best.
It was the best. I mean, we have VHS, obviously.
Okay, that was me. I was like, but they just call it Betamax. I'm thinking it's a VHS.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, say what Betamax is.
Okay, before VHS, there was Beta. And because I guess they didn't
have... Or it was like an alternate, too.
There was a record.
I think Beta came out, I think, first. And then VHS right behind it.
Yes.
But I think the issue was really just one of money and connections. And Betamax kind of just died. Yes. And actually, you can find out there's a museum of failure. And there is. I'm actually very serious on that. But yeah, and so that was so cool. He's like, yeah, I don't trust VHS. I loved that. And so that's when we first hear about Corpus Vale, the secret society of ravens or crows, birds. Ravens.
Both.
Birds.
Yeah, both.
It's both.
Both.
Corvus. Corvus is the genus Corvus, of the crow. It's also the constellation of the crow.
Oh. So is Corvus a Latin word?
I think that's, yeah.
Or a derivative.
That's the taxonomical Latin root of the species, the genus. It's the genus, yeah.
Thank you.
I think it's also Dina in that scene, species.
Pardon me?
I'm Dina in that scene. Like, no, don't go in there. You don't go near creepy voices. I am sorry that I will seriously be yelling that too at the screen if I was Dina, because I'm like, this makes no sense. Why are we going towards creepy voices? No, you should be going away from creepy voices.
And I also love that Gunther had the Betamax machine. I was like, yes, Gunther, yes. Coming through again with the win. So
it was the superior format.
Yes, 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 yes. It was really cool. And so
I don't know. We had a laser disc machine though.
We had a laser disc machine. Uh-huh. We hated having to flip it over.
Yeah, yeah, you had to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Cameron and Kay, they talk to Alicia. And okay, so here's my thing. So they end up tracking the people to like this True Value hardware store, which actually, I mean, a lot of places are doing this even in LA where they have these little pop-ups in like random places, which I think is so cool. Except usually, like, don't do it in the summer because half those places don't have air conditioning. I'm just going to let you know. And then it's like, it's not cute when you're sweaty and musty. But... so they track them. And then again, Kay. Oh, okay. Then again. Sorry, you guys. You're like, why does Erica space out so much? That's because I'm so excited. Okay. And so they track people down and they go to this True Value. And that's where the secret society is getting a party on upstairs in a hardware store. So, but before we hear about those parties, have we got a party for you?
We do, guys. So if you want to learn and fun, have fun and grow in all areas of life, we have the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your lives. And I know, if you're like me, we could all use it in our lives. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes, subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, and be sure to rate and comment and let her know it was the Deception team Woo-hoo, that sent you there. Yes. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's how we do it.
All right, so we're at the secret society party. Now, first of all, it's so cute, the line where Kay tells Cameron, take off all your clothes. And I'm like, yay.
But I'm like, are you saying, no, take off your jacket. But first of all, I have a thing. He had a half-eaten burrito. He didn't even finish it. So I'm trying, from when you walked across the street, did you just toss
he
what
just
you just bought?
It. Okay, it's New York.
Wait, the best line in the show is when he goes, fajita.
Worst case scenarios, fajitas.
D is for delicious.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
I don't eat anywhere but A rating.
D is for delicious. That was a good thing. Okay.
I'll cruise into a B, no problem.
Oh.
Some of the best stuff is B.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
The extra crunch, you know?
Thank you.
I don't want to know that's extra crunch. All
right, you guys. I got confused, even though we're talking about.
So we're talking about the burrito snack. Or cool. Whatever. Fajitas. Okay, so they decide to...
Sneak in as caterers. Which is interesting
because the whole time Alicia is following them. So again, Kay is easily distracted. Don't you work for the FBI, girl? Okay. So they don't know until they see Alicia there that she's like following them the whole time, which I'm a little shocked. So let me ask you guys this.
I don't think she was following the FBI.
She was already
on her own trail. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, she was following them.
That's what she said. She followed them when they left.
You weren't expecting that?
No. What I was surprised was that Kay didn't see somebody following her. That's all I'm saying.
That is true.
But now, let me ask you guys this, because a lot of times it's a dynamic of the show, which I love. Like, I love Cameron. But sometimes I just thought about this episode, like, why is she always leaving Mike in the dust? Like, why is she? It's like Cameron is like her new partner, and Mike is like partner
C. He's a good sport.
And he's totally cool about it, but she does totally elevate Cameron like to her as her partner. I mean, do you guys feel this way or no? Maybe it's just me.
I mean, Mike just wanted to stay at the office. Yeah, maybe he had a certain thing to research on his own. But I'm trying to give him something to do. I don't know.
It's not so much him. To me, it's her. She's made the choice. She's the lead, and she chooses Cameron every time.
If you want it any other way, come on.
He has magic.
He does have magic. Even though she tried to play like she don't like it, we know she like it.
Yeah.
You know she likes Jonathan better.
So, all right. So the whole thing we come to find out is about Charles Quaid and his pharmaceutical company that like knows people are going to die. This is a story that is like in the news today. And he, you know, it was a lawsuit that was thrown out. So it's so interesting to see how the people in this society interact with each other. Very much like Illuminati type secrets that you have. And I liked also with the Mario Van Peebles diversity. I do like that they had a black man in charge. I was like, see, this is how times are changing.
Yes. And he was an astronaut.
Yes.
For the win.
Yes. So that was really cool, especially since there weren't any like black men in the original four founders. So I like the fact that it was a very diverse group of this social society.
Of really rich people. So
exactly.
So it's good to be rich.
So what did you all feel about the Corvus Veil?
I love the fact that we got to see another chip in the black family history vault.
Yes.
In the sense that, you know, Alistair has, and like Alistair looks like Cameron and Jonathan. I'm just going to say that, get that the way, because I'm like, dude, you just got a mustache on. Cool. I mean, it's nice and it's trimmed very nicely. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. But I was interested, like, just
they
hearing
do make
how...
Jack Cutmer Scott work to death, don't they? Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I apologize for
that. He gotta, you know, he gotta do what he gotta do.
Thank you. Get that hustle on. Go ahead.
And the fact that we found out that Alistair actually built the room. He built the entire Raven's Hall secret room itself. And we knew who's a builder. And from last episode where Gunter found something...
Right.
The skull. He's like, if you keep on looking, you're gonna end up like, what's in my present for you?
Right.
So maybe, you know, the whole Corpus Vile does have something that's going to play a bigger part later as well.
Yeah, I agree, too, because I felt the whole time I was like, okay, they're going to come back because the whole thing with their great grandfather is a secret room in the passageway in the dark dungeon somewhere that you don't see. So I definitely feel like there's going to be more from this society as well.
I like the whole Eyes Wide Shut. Me I thought there was too. Some really racy stuff going on in the back room for a minute. I was like, oh, this is ABC, darn it.
I know.
But it was really cool. I loved that. And I loved, can we talk about the ring? I found the ring trick very fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was at the end?
Yeah, when he went like, and then that.
Yeah. One of the many, many sleight of hand pieces that Jack does for real. He practices these things and he nails it. He's so talented.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us
this? No, I can't. Some things I can, but not that one. Ask me about another.
That's a real sleight of hand magician trick.
Yes.
And you taught him how to do that.
Francis Minotti, our magician consultant in New York, he's there every day on set. Mm-hmm. He taught Jack that one.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever do like hand switching?
We do a little bit of hand doubling, but I got to say 95% of it is Jack. I mean, he walks around with a pack of cards and a coin and he's palming things and he's always practicing his sleight of hand. It's mostly him.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very, very cool. So, okay, so we'll kind of move forward to the Charles Quaid scene, because I think that is in essence when the team kind of pulls together, at least on Cameron's end, to create this deception to trap him. And what I find so intriguing, David, about what you all do and bring to the show is that, and I think you kind of do this because I do follow you on Instagram and stuff, like, with your TED Talks and like every life, like how magic can really be a part of our lives and how they bring it in every investigation. And it's like realistic. Like it's not anything totally, like, I don't know if it's going to pass the court of law and cross-examination and all that other stuff, but
yeah, no way.
You know, some of that, but it's very interesting to see how it integrates in our everyday lives. And even in this episode, because some of the episodes I'm like, well, they're just kind of tricking the people. It's not really magic, but
tricking is magic.
But yes, very, very true. But really interesting with the cord or whatever, where they were dropping him down.
Oh, that was like, my favorite part.
Okay.
And then Cameron came and he's just like, you know, my brother likes to build things. I like to make things disappear. I was like, yes, like give me life.
You know, what we really love to do on this show with magic is pull back the curtain and give you guys a peek into how it works. And we don't give away the technical secrets. It's very important to me and to Francis and the other magicians that have contributed to this show that it's very important to us that we uphold the secrecy. But we always put it through a real test of what principles of illusion, what scientific fundamental rules behind magic can we share with the audience. So that's what you're seeing in a scene like that is not like technically how the illusions are built, but like how some of the principles work.
Exactly. And when we first, like the very first episode or the first couple episodes, and definitely before Chris came on to the show, our show, I was like, oh my God, I really liked magic. And now you're telling me the secrets every week. I'm going to be sad. But I like the fact that the stuff that you revealed were so old that like it's still new and fresh and there's still so much out there.
There's a bunch of rules. We can give away something that's really old that no one's doing today. And that's sort of like the second rule, which is if somebody has taken something that's 100 years old and they've resurrected it and they're performing it today, we stay away from it. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to ruin anyone's magic show.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, and then the third thing is, and this is my favorite, is we can give anything away if we come up with it ourselves. So it's ours to just kind of mess around with and we make something, we can share it. So like a great example of that is in the second episode where Cameron is lying on the hospital gurney and they pull up the sheet and he flips underneath and it goes through the trap and a dummy comes up.
And
we shot that from the back so you could see how it was done. And we just kind of put our heads together and came up with a creative way to do that. And there's actually a more technical, secretive way that we stayed away from. It was based on something called the Dakota chair. But we said, you know what, we can use this part of it and not this part of it. And we changed it so it became something new and original that we could share with everybody.
Totally cool. We're making magic on deception.
So we have someone in the chat named Lived in Inch. They are saying, could you please explain how the hatchet trick works? They showed a fake sign, but I'm still mesmerized, stumped by it.
So our inspiration for that, I actually just posted this video today on Twitter. Check it out. I'm David Kwong, KWONG. Just plugging it. But if you want to see this video, no, it's good. It's a fake knife throw, which is the guy. We went to this illusion warehouse where someone builds illusions. This guy John Gaughan, incredible restorer of illusions in Glendale, California. And they took a knife and they pretended to throw it. They just kind of dropped it down to their leg. And then you see this balloon pop on the wall and there's a knife there, which just comes right out of the wall. And that was so the inspiration for this, is that it's a fake axe throw because they didn't want to endanger the guy.
Right,
just
exactly.
Scare him. And then pops out of there. So...
Nice.
That was that.
So bit. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us that behind the scenes magic.
BTS.
Yes. Yeah. Behind the scenes. Yes. Oh, that's so cool. So Dina was the hatchet thrower, actually, I think, in this episode. All right. So basically, we get him to confess. Da, da, da. Let's move and discuss, because we're running out. We have so many things to discuss.
There's a lot to talk about.
Yes. All right. So we're going to talk about my favorite, my boo thing, Jonathan, who was not crazy. There's a crazy, like horrible, evil corrections investigator. And he basically set Jonathan up as he did these other people. And I'm not sure, I didn't really get the gist of why he was doing this. Like, is he trying to become warden? Is he just evil? Like, I wasn't really sure what, but maybe they'll let us know later. But needless to say, he has like a whole, like a serial killer, like a whole wall of people he done messed their life up. And one of them was Winslow. So I love in this the scenes where even though Winslow came off as the evil black man, he actually saves the day and kind of comes through for Jonathan in the end, which I love. How did you guys feel about the whole prison scene?
First of all, dude, really 25 to life is your password. Okay, I'm gonna leave it at that. I like the fact that, you know, him and Winslow have an understanding, it seems. Like, Jonathan's like, I'm not scared of you. I don't care about your dudes. I'm trying to have a conversation. And he ruined your life. So if you help me, it ends up helping you as well to get him put away. Because I actually feel bad, like, learning that you're supposed to be for 3 years. And then you got to 30. That's a stupid hand to be dealt.
Right. Exactly. And it was so interesting, that dynamic where he's like, well, yeah, I know you can't stand me, but I'm sure you hate him more. So that's that concept of both of our, you know, if you hate the same, if you, you know, your enemy's enemy is your friend.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of brought them together. What are your thoughts, Sherry?
Well, he was framing people because he would get rewards and accolades, and he was hoping to get moved up the police warden ladder or whatever. I don't know how the promotions work. But I thought it was interesting. How he, openly did it on film. He just would hide the film later on. And that the other police officers were helping him. But if you read the news, this happens. I mean, they get power mad and they enjoy torturing people. And that's what they do.
I mean, so many crazy, outside of fictional things, I mean, so many crazy things happen in prison. Like, that's another show for another day. Yeah, but so many buck wild things. So I think that the way they touched on it was still light and humorous. And they kept the show light as it usually is. Even though every episode I'm like, y'all, he's in prison. Prison is the dark place. That's Erica. But I like the fact that they kind of get real with it, but not too real. So you can still kind of go to sleep at night.
I will touch on the fact that after, like, you know, Winslow and Jonathan have, you know, look, he's getting away now. And all his cases are going to be reevaluated, so you're probably going to get out sooner than you thought. But then, did y'all notice this guard?
Yeah.
Like, that guard just, like, was, like, looking, and then he stared at Jonathan, like, lol. I'm like, this dude's going to come back, and, like, these guards going to come for Jonathan.
Exactly. I did notice that as well. I was like, oh, that's the evil guard. I did notice that scene, definitely. And what I did like, too, was there was that moment when Winslow was like, well, I guess y'all you didn't work, or whatever, didn't work. And then when he's just like, man, there's the moment of recognition in Winslow's eyes where it's like, he didn't really owe me anything, and now he's helped me. You know what I'm saying? So I think Winslow is always going to have his back forever now.
So, until he gets out.
I mean, yeah. He can still have his back when he's out, too. You never know.
He'll hook him up with his boys.
All right. All right, you guys. So let's get down to the final wrap-up. So when they're at the house and they're kind of, finally, Mike is back. Nice to see you, Mike. What have you been doing all episode? But glad you're with us. So they want to explain to Mike how everything, the tricks were done. And they're all kind of you know, chit-chatting, and then we get to see the sexy Mario Van Peebles just pop up again. So I love this kind of tie-in again with the Chorus Veil. How did you guys like the ending or wrap-up?
It also ties into the Mystery Woman, because I feel like she, like, that pin was also in the photo. So it's going to play a bigger part later.
I thought the pin was not in the photo. He's just like,
it's the way you're looking at me. Yeah, I wanted something.
I thought he said the pin was not in the photo, because he was like, wait, this isn't in the photo. Was there something else? Did she leave a note? And then that's when he had vanished. So I thought it was not in the photo, actually. But I don't know.
Well, she was like, there's certain things I know in the photo she was missing. Like, she didn't have all the things for.
Yes.
And also, part of me thinking is like, Marvin, you're an astronaut, but are you a magician now because you're disappearing? Or is the secret society just make you disappear like Houdini? Questions.
Yes, well, we'll see.
He's still sexy, though.
Yeah, he's very sexy. I thought that was interesting, but I think it was a reminder that they all, in the Hidden Society, all know, like, all these secret rooms.
Right.
And maybe part of the Corvus Veil is that they learned sleight of hand or something. Because it seemed like it was more than just the ritual of them pretending to kill someone so that they go on to a new life.
And then also, I think we don't really quite understand how the grandfather was tied into them. So the same way he built that house, you know what I'm saying? He was one of their members. So we don't know if they, you know, what they knew about this place as well, is my point. So, all right, you guys. Okay, so now let's go. I'm so excited. Okay, you guys. So, all right. So we had this.
What's happening right now?
Oh, you're going to see. Okay. So we had this special segment for most of the season called Behind the Magic. And so now we have a magician here. Woo. Ooh. So now, are you going to do something?
Yes. Yes, I will. I will. Yes, yeah, I brought
back the cards. I didn't get any deeper behind the magic than true magic. Woo. All right, you guys.
I brought a pack of cards with
me. Yay. Okay, so try to do it so they can see you in the camera absolutely. There.
Just getting rid of stuff.
Yeah. We're making it rain up in here, people.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Let me just make sure we got a. Can you see that what we're dealing with here? Okay. So I guess I'll do this right to you. I'll do this right to you.
Okay. Oh my god. Okay, you guys, I'm so excited.
Let me show you that they're not all King of Clubs or something.
Yeah, these are all like.
So would you just take out a card for me? Just touch the back of a card. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. This one.
Okay. And I'm gonna look away. You could show the camera.
Okay, you guys. All right, can we see it, everybody? You guys see it?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. All right, we see now it. Look, okay. All right.
I want you to put it back in the deck. Can you see it on the table here in the camera? Maybe
okay,
not.
Okay, you guys.
We'll hold it up. Put it back anywhere you want inside there. It's your free choice. Anywhere you want. Right there, about the middle. Go. Okay, cool. Now look, I'm going to see if I can get your card to pop from the middle up to the top. Ready? Bam. Just like that. The four of spades. With the four of spades? No, she's not reacting. So, all right. You know what? I'm going to pivot.
This is funny, guys. I'm
check this out. I'm going to take this four of spades. Can you see that? Yes. I'm going to hold it up a little higher.
Okay.
Take the four of spades. I'm going to destroy it. Watch this. I'm going to take that card and I'm going to rip it into 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces. Can I have your hand? Uh-huh. And make a fist and just hold it just like that. Now, you tell me, what was the actual card that you chose? Not the four, but what was the actual
card? It was the six of hearts.
Six of hearts. Okay, let me get that out. Okay, sorry. It hasn't really gone anywhere. We have a six. Now, what I'm going to attempt here is to get the four of spades and the six of hearts to change places without you opening your hand. Are you ready?
Keep your hand. No.
Keep your hand closed. Okay. All right. Come up like right here in the middle of the camera. Good. We got that. Here we go. Watch this. I'm going to have to stand up for just a quick sec. Watch. Touch above and below, and they should just like
that. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Wow.
So if I have the four here, what do you have in your hand? Show the camera what you got. Hold that up.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really dope.
Now, just for one other thing, I want to rewind the clock for a moment. Give me your hand real quick.
Okay.
And make a fist around the pieces. Hold it there. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And you feel the pieces, right? Let everybody know.
I do. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, they're really hurting my hand.
We're gonna rewind the hands on the clock. And give it a little squeeze. Give it a little squeeze. Take a look. Look at what you did. You put it back together.
Magical.
Come on.
I'm magical. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Bye.
That's my time. Good night. All right, you guys. So that was the behind the scenes. All right. So let's do. We have so many things to do. Okay. So we'll do. You guys want to do predictions or no? We're going to do predictions now? At the very end? Okay. So we're going to do news and gossip.
Yes.
Okay.
News and gossip.
News and gossip, people.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, Chira, you sent in some stuff, and I think it's David-related.
Yes, it is very David-related. Okay. First off, if you're in L.A., David has some fun time for you.
Yeah, next Monday, I'm doing a puzzle challenge, a puzzle hunt, which is basically a team puzzle solve. So come with six people or come by yourself, and we'll find a team for you. But you'll get 8 puzzles, and they all link together for the final answer, and it's a fun way to, like, stretch your brain.
Cool.
They're not too hard. They're, like, beginner puzzles that make you think a little bit differently. And this is this will be downtown in Escape Room LA, Monday, 7 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. There are 2 different slots. And I'll be tweeting about it, or you can check out the Escape Room LA website.
And then he also had a super cool puzzle thing.
Oh, yeah. Just as a quick little puzzle.
4 pictures.
Yeah. Here's an example of something you might see at a puzzle challenge like this. We're going to put up on the screen. It's 4 people. What do they have in common is the question.
Wait.
Yeah, take a look.
I have a glare, so I see.
Well, I'm going to tell you who they are because you're allowed to look up who they are, which is Beethoven, right?
Right.
Bob Marley.
Right.
Usain Bolt. And who's that last person?
Trump's girlfriend.
Yeah, it's Stormy Daniels, but there's a little twist. I'm going to give you a hint. It has to do with her real name.
Oh, okay.
So are we going to give the answer away right now, or are we going to let people work on it?
We'll let people guess.
Wait, who's, who's that?
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt.
Who's that?
He's a runner person.
Fastest man in the world.
Right, exactly.
Fastest man in the world, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, don't
follow
this.
Sorry. Person.
But, I'm a football person. We know this.
Okay, but he is... Okay, whatever. So we're digressing here. We only have a few moments. But what we want you to do, guys, is post your guesses in the chat. And we will let you guys know next week what the answer is. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, you guys. So,
and before you go, I wanted to say something about the secret societies because it wasn't the show. There are seven actual known, not so secret societies that still happen. It's obviously the Illuminati, Freemasons, the Skull and Bones, which is a Yale University secret society.
I know so many Masons, so that's not really a secret.
The Rosh Christians. I hope I said that right. It was found in the 15th century.
Too, dear.
Bilderberg. It was from 1954. The Elders of Zion, the Knights of and the Knights of Templar,
and also Bohemian Grove was something that we really drew inspiration from. But I also want to ask you, how can you possibly know how many secret societies there are?
I didn't say I knew.
Oh, okay.
And I would give the heads up that the real secret societies, we don't know about them.
That is very true.
That would be my argument to make.
So these are seven secret societies that are known.
Oh, I see.
They're not
effective.
Yes.
Yeah, they're horrible at secret keeping, obviously.
Let's start a secret society.
Exactly. Yes. All right, you guys. Let's do predictions before we get up out of here. So
now, you're after Buzz TV.
Alright, we'll start it with someone on the left.
I'm hoping Jonathan will get out of jail or at least escape for a few days and switch places with Cameron.
Okay.
I'm going to jump on board with the fact what she said. I feel like there's a switch that's going to happen. Only because of the promo, it's just like, I don't know why Cameron's yelling, we're in love, to Kay. So I have questions, I need answers. Definitely the jealousy is going to be popping and on, and I cannot wait.
Yay.
I think I'm going to have spaghetti and meatballs after this, and I predict it's going to be delicious.
Yay. My prediction is, Jonathan's going to be king of prison and running things. And I feel like we're going to get some more of what happened between Jonathan and the mystery woman in Reykjavik. Maybe they were secret best buddies or something. So who knows? Something. All right, you guys. Well, that has been our show for tonight. It's been amazing.
We had so much fun.
And if you're following us and you're watching this live, make sure you comment after. After the video is posted, so we can see your comments going forward. And definitely, if you haven't already, why haven't you? Give us a thumbs up. And if you're following us on listening to us on iTunes, then subscribe, download, give us a million stars, comment, all that good jazz, because we love you guys on iTunes as well. So thank you guys for joining us. I am your moderator of the evening. My name is Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D-S in door, Edwards. Take it away,
and
David.
I'm David Kwong, magician, puzzler, super nice guy. David Kwong, that's K-W-O-N-G. I'm at David Kwong on everything, and I do a lot of magic on social, so check it out.
Yes. Hey, guys, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me later tonight for the season 2 finale of Riverdale, and I don't even know how to feel.
I'm Cherry_LA on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow me with her for the Terror on Monday, final episode, Tuesday night, the 100, Wednesday, Deception, and on Sundays, The Expanse.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.